Begin the current daf, Masechet Bamitzvah, daf Kuf Yud Beis. We begin on the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. And that is, our Gemara was explaining the halacha of our previous Mishnah regarding the parameters that are specific and unique to regarding the Schar of Yisrael versus a Schar of Behemah and Kalim, or regard to that of a Ger Toshav. So there were three different opinions. There was the Tana of our Mishnah, which is the Tana of Rebbe Shmuel. There was the Tana Kama of the Braisa called Me'achecha, and there was the opinion of Rebbe Yisrael Yehuda. So the Gemara was going through explaining each of these opinions, how they got to their specific opinions based on how they darshan the Pesukim. So the Gemara at one point on the bottom of the previous daf in Amud Beis was explaining that according to Rebbe Yehuda, that does not hold that there's going to be a liability of Baal Tolin by Behema and Kalim, because they don't hold of the Gzereshav of Sachar, comparing the two parashas of Beyikra and Devarim. So the pasuk of Leisalim Pula Sachar Itcha Ad Beker, which according to the Tanna of our Mishnah, although they also don't hold of the Gzereshav of Sachar, they use the extra word Itcha, seemingly superfluous, to say whatever's with you, even regarding Behem and Kalim, there's going to be a liability of Baal Tolin. What does Rebbe Yisrael to do with that pasuk of Itcha? That the Gemara said he needs it for the drasha of Ravasi. Ravasi says, even if someone is hired just to pick one cluster of grapes, he's still going to be violating Baal Tolin if he doesn't pay him on time, because whatever itcha, even if it works for you just for a few hours, there's going to be that violation. So then the Gemara said, v'idach, then according to the Tanna of our Mishnah, how does he know this drasha? He already uses itcha to teach you that Behemah and Kalim are going to have Baal Tolin. How does he know that even if you're working just for a few hours, there's still going to be Baal Tolin? And that says the Gemara, he learns out from the pasuk in the Devarim that in that context it says ve'elav hu neiseis nafshei, that the worker gives his life over, meaning davar ha'meiser nafshei elav. It's something that he gives his life up for the employee, for the employer, meaning whatever he's mishabed himself to work for the person, even if it's just one cluster of grapes, but his meiser, he gives his life over for it, that we see that will include the halacha Baal Tolin. So that's how our Gemara continues and says ve'idach, but Rebbe Yisrael Yehuda, so that he doesn't use it from that pasuk of Ve'elav Hunesis Nafshe, because that already he knows from Itcha. So, Hahumi Ba'ilei, look at the Tanya. So, what does he need that pasuk for? That what does it teach you from Ve'elav Hunesis Nafshe? That's as we learned in the Braisa, that's actually coming to talk about the punishment for the one who doesn't pay his worker on time. It's as if he stole his life, as if he killed the guy. As we taught in this Braisa, that the conclusion will say this concept. There's actually two drashas in this pasuk on this pasuk. It says, Ve'elav hu neiseis nafshei, and to him he lifts up his life, and meaning it's that he gives up his life, the worker, for the employer. That is, Menema Ola Zebekevish. Why does this worker go up on a very high plank, on a very high ramp, and he puts himself in danger of falling? And Venitla Be'ilon, why does he go and hang himself from a tree, meaning when he goes up to pick the grapes, to pick the olives, or to pick the dates? And he's giving himself over to the possibility of dying because he might fall from the ramp for the tree. Why does he do this? Isn't it for the wage so that he can have a livelihood? Why is a guy going up on top of that building and doing these dangerous jobs? It's to get his parnasa. So you see that there's a concept of in the actual activity that employee could do in the jobs that he does. So you see how bad it is by not paying him because he's actually meister his nefesh in the work that he does. Davach, a different interpretation, that ve'elov hu neisis nafshi, that to him he lifts up his soul, meaning that in this pshat is not saying that the mysterious nefesh, that the guy could kill himself by the work that he's doing, therefore you have to pay him on time. It's rather kol ha'kovish chasacher. This interpretation is saying that whoever withholds the payment of the worker, kilu neitel nafshi, meaning it's as if you stole his life from him because of not paying him. Not because of the type of work that he's doing that's dangerous, but from the fact that you're not paying him, now he has no money to support his family and to provide sustenance. That's why it's ve'elav u'neisiz nafshe, is that because his life is here hanging in the balance of getting paid, that's the drasha that's being used, according to Rebbe Yehuda, from this pasuk of ve'elav u'neisiz nafshe, to say how bad it is by not paying the worker, because you're as if you're killing him by not giving him the money that he needs to provide. Now, in this interpretation, the Gemara brings Rav Hun Rav Chisda. They disagree regarding the specific interpretation of this pasuk, regarding that it's ve'elav u'neisiz nafshe, that his life is at risk. Whose life? Chadar menafshe shel gazlan. One says it's the life of the thief, meaning of the employer who is not paying. Chadar menafshe shel nigzal. One says it's the life of the one who is getting robbed. In other words, one of them says that it's the nefesh, that it's the life of the worker, and that is the employer gets punished as if he killed the life of the worker. The other one says, no, it's actually the life of the goslin, meaning the Torah is telling you that the employer is putting his own life at risk. As the Gemara explains, Mandom and Nafsha Shel Goslin, the one that says that it's the life of the robber, meaning the employer who's not paying, his life is at risk. Like says, the Pasuk in Mishlei, it says, Al Tigzal Dal Kidalhu. Do not steal from a pauper because he's poor, where Rashi explains it's telling you even though he's poor and he has no one to help him, don't steal from him, because that's one of the four different interpretations of the word ki, which can mean if. Don't rob from him even though if he's poor. Valtadaki on the bashar, and do not oppress a pauper in the gate. Achsev, and what does it say after that? Ki Hashem yarivim, because Hashem will fight their fight. V'kave es koivehem, and he will rob their robbers. And what's Hashem going to rob from the robber, meaning the employer who's not paying, is nefesh. He's going to steal their soul, their life. In other words, they're causing those who steal from their workers and not paying them is causing that Hashem will actually take their own soul away. So that's the mandam that's saying it's nefesh al gazel. Mandam and nefesh al nigzel, the one who interprets this actually talking about ve'ilu v'noisis nafsha, it's talking about the nefesh of the nigzel regarding the victim, regarding the worker. The chsilik, it says the pasuk in Mishlei, it says, Kain archa is called boitzei batza. So too is the path of all those who steal. As nefesh ba'olav yikach, they take the life of their owner. So you see that someone that robs from someone money, doesn't pay him the amount he's supposed to get for his work, is like he's killing the person. Now the Gemara asks, v'idach nami hoksiv es nefesh ba'olav yikach. What does the other man the amr do with this pasuk? Seemingly it says that he takes the nefesh of the owner of the money by not paying him, by stealing from him, he's killing that person. So seemingly, Ve'ilu v'noisis nafshi should be talking about whose life is at risk, the nigzal. So the Gemara know that he would interpret that pasuk of Ba'il of the hashta, meaning after the theft, who's the owner right now? That's the gazlan. So the pasuk is saying, as nefesh ba'olav yikach, that Hashem, he takes away the life of the owner of the money, meaning who's the owner of the money now? The one who stole it. Hashem takes away that person's life, which is the gazlan, not the nigzal. Now the Gemara says, V'idach nami, now the other man, the Amar, Haksiv Koyves Kaveim Nefesh. Seemingly that other pasuk says that Hashem will rob the soul of the one who steals. So seemingly it's the nefesh of the gazlan, of the employer, not the employee. So the Gemara, no, he would say Ma Tam Kama. The pasuk is what's the reason? Ma Tam Kova Es Kaveim. What's the reason why Hashem robs from the one who robs? I mean, why is he punished the one who doesn't pay the worker? Is mishum de notlu nefesh, is because he took away another person's soul, meaning the nefesh of the nigzel. So the way you read the pasuk is v'kove es keveim nefesh, meaning those that stole the soul of the nigzel, that's who are the people that Hashem punishes, but it refers to stealing the nefesh of the nigzel of the victim. Again, that's the interpretation of Reis Behuda, what he learns from the pasuk of Oilev Neisis Nafshay, not like the Tanakama of our Mishnah that used to say that Yerchayev for no matter how many hours he works, but rather to tell us the great punishment of not paying a worker on time. Now the Mishnah then, Gemara quotes in the Mishnah that said, Emasai, when does a person violate this issa bal talon of if he doesn't pay the worker on time? If only if the worker claims his pay, his wage. But if it doesn't come to knock on the door and say, hey, give me the work that I did, then the employer, although he doesn't pay him, doesn't violate that issa. So the Gemara brings Tarim Bar Lan, the Braisa that elaborates on these halachas. Light talim pula sacha. The pasuk says, do not let it stay overnight. The wage of the worker that is going on the schir yom, he works all day and he finishes when it's nighttime. That's when the obligation starts. And it goes through the entire night. You can't delay all the way till the morning. Says the Braisa, yachal afila light tavo. You would think that the violation would be even if the worker doesn't claim his money. The employer has to pay him even without that. That's what the word says, with you. What does that mean, with you, the employer? Meaning if the only reason why it's not going to the worker is because of your own intentions, but not because of the intention of the worker. In other words, if the worker is not claiming it, so it's ladaitai, then there's no violation of baltalon. Continues the braisa. You would think that the employer would be violating the isra, even if he doesn't have money. Still, you got to pay. Tamalim itcha, that's another law, drush you learn from the word itcha with you, meaning sheyesh itcha, that you have money with you. You have the money with you, and you have that pulasacha, and you're not paying it, then you violate. Moreover, says the price, you would think that the violation would be, even if the employer had designated it, that the payment should be made by a certain storekeeper, or by a money changer, if it's not paid, still ultimately he didn't pay it on time, and he's violating. Time lama itcha, that's again another drasha we learn from the word with you, meaning it's only if the money is with you, not if you had designated a third party to make the payments, even if they don't make it, he's not violating because it wasn't incumbent upon him, it was incumbent upon that third party to pay the checks. Now the Mishnah says, this halacha that we just mentioned in the Braisa, that says, if he had designated, he had removed himself, the employer, from the obligation of the payments, and had shifted it to a third party, and then they don't pay, then Eino Eiver, then he doesn't violate that violation. Now, regarding this halacha, the Gemara has the following question. Ibai Lud, the following question. Chayzer, could the worker go back to the employer if the storekeeper doesn't give him the wages that he's supposed to get paid? And then could he go back to the homeowner, to the employer, to say, okay, so pay me. I know we shifted and we said he's going to give me what he owes me, what you owe me, but he's not paying me. Could he go back to the balabais and say, okay, now you pay me? Could he not go back because already he shifted already, okay, and that's not my responsibility anymore. So not only is he not over baltalan, but now you can't come back to me and say I should pay you. That's his obligation. We both agreed to that. Now you can't come back to me, even though he's not agreeing to his part of the deal. So it's a machlekes. Rav Sheshi Shtomei Ein Lechayzer can't go back anymore. There's no more obligation on the balabais. The obligation is on the chemini. Now he has to deal with him. For Rabbi Machayzer, Rabbi says, no, he could go back and he could litigate now. He says, look, he's not paying me. I want you to pay me now. Now, Amar Rabbi says, Minam Minuli, says, where do I know this from, that he could be chayz? He could go back to the balabais, to the employer, and say, no, you got to pay me, because he's not doing it. Mediktani, from the fact that we learned in the Mishnah this halacha that said, that if he was in choy, it's l'chem ni meitzel shulchani, eino ayir lov, that he doesn't violate the balabais if the chemini doesn't pay up. Says Rabbi, what it sounds like is, ma'avahu delay aver. It sounds like that he doesn't violate, but that he could come back and have to demand from the balabais to pay him. The employer won't violate baltelin, but there's still the obligation of him at least to pay the worker. It's just that he won't violate baltelin. So therefore, if the chemini doesn't pay, the balabais has to pay. He says, no. My eino eiver, what does the Mishnah mean when it says that he's not going to violate? Eino b'tayris laver. He's not in the category of violating. In other words, that the worker has no claim in monetary purposes at all on the employer to even have the possibility of violating the issur of payment to a worker because he doesn't owe him the money anymore. He shifted already to a third party, to the chemini, to the shulchani, and if it says Rav Sheshi, to the contrary, he can't even come back to demand the payment from the balabais. Continuing on these halachas about Talim, the Gemara has the following question. Boyim name Rav Sheshi. They ask from Rav Sheshi, kablonis. Regarding kablonis, now kablonis is different than a schir yoyim, schir shavuos, schir chaydish. A sacher is someone that works, gets paid per hour, per day. It's through the medium of time. That's how he gets paid. Now, in contrast, a kablon is a craftsman that accepts a certain job to do. He's going to charge per job for the clothing, for the mechanic. It's a certain job. It doesn't make a difference if it takes a long time or a short time. That's how he gets paid. So the question is, Aivar Allah Mishum Baltalan? Regarding such a job, such a worker, is there, if when he finishes his job, is there going to be a violation of not leaving the amount of paying per a certain time, you have to pay him on time? Aivar Mishum Baltalan? Or by a kavlan, is there no violation of Baltalan? So what's the question? So the Gemara explains as follows. Umin Kaina Bishvachli, do we say that a craftsman acquires the benefit that he did to the object that he was working on, and therefore he merits in that shvach. Now, because of his kablonis, that's why he gets the rights to that shvach. In other words, if let's say there's a garment, and the tailor says, "I'm going to put on these ornaments, adorning the garment." So he was mashbiach the klina. He made it better. Now that shvach that he made it better, actually he owns it because of his kablonis, because of his job that he's contracted to do, he owns it. Now, when he gives back the garment now with these adornments on it, it's as if he's selling that shvach that he made better in the garment back to the owner of the garment. Now, if that's the case, where he owns the shvach, and now he's selling it back to, when he's charging for the, I'm charging $100 for the job. What are you charging for? What is it that you're charging for? Not for your time, because not charging per time. It's not a sacher. What are you charging for the job? What does that mean? Job means to say, oh, this that I increased the benefit of this overall product, that's something that I own, that's my craftsmanship, and I'm selling that to you. If he's selling it to him, that means to say once the owner of the garment gets it back, that means v'havahi. Up until he pays that worker, then it's a loan because it was sold to him. When something is sold and you don't pay up, essentially that money that is owed to the seller is like a loan, meaning it's a debt that you owe. So therefore, that has nothing to do with schiris. It's not that he was a hired worker and he has to pay him for the work. You're not paying him for the work. You're paying for the shvach that was sold to the person with shalva. Therefore, then, there's not going to be a iser baltan, which is only by a sachar, by something that is rented, which could be a person, which could be an animal. Oh, he says the Gemara, ein umen koyin b'shvachli. Or do we say that, no, a craftsman does not acquire the shvach that he increased in the kli, b'shirisi. What does he get paid for? Because he's a hired laborer, albeit not by time, but rather by job, but he doesn't acquire, and therefore, what's he getting paid for? He's getting paid for his services, his action, which is a schiris, a type of a hired laborer, and therefore, there would be the halacha about talmud. That was the question. So, Amr Rav Sheish, it says, Oiv Rav Sheish says that there is a violation of baltala, not just for a sacher, who gets paid by the hour, but even by a kabbalah, who gets paid for the job. Now, Tosis importantly says that what Rav Sheish actually was answering was that there is cases by kablanas that there could be a violation of baltalan. For example, as we'll see shortly in the Gemara, where when there's no shvach in the kli. So for example, let's say when you're sending a letter, or when a guy is hired just to step in the garment, where you get paid per item, not, in other words, it's like a schiris, you're getting paid per quantum and not regarding the overall job. Now, but because Rav Tosfos points out, actually Rav Sheshes actually does hold that a woman is kind of a shvach kli, as obvious he says from Baba Kama and Perek Gezel Kama. Now, these who had asked the question of Rav Sheshes, they actually did not mention in their question regarding these variables which the Gemara explains of Umen Kain B'Shvach Kli or not. Rather, they just asked, does a kablan, could there be, when a person hires a kablan, is there a violation of Baltalan or not? Now, the Gemara is the one who says that seemingly would be dependent on Umen Kain B'Shvach Kli or not, because according to the simple understanding, that's what the question would be dependent on. Now, that's actually why the Gemara then, as we're going to see shortly, says, oh, Leimim Misayele, let's support that halacha of Rav Sheshes, because the Gemara thought that they're interdependent. And the Rav Sheshes held that, when he said, Iver holds that Ein Umen Kain B'Shvach Kli, but actually Tosfos points out that Rav Sheshes hold Umen is Kain B'Shvach Kli, and therefore seemingly there should not be an Aveir Baltalan, but just that there are cases that could be, as we'll see actually from the Gemara's conclusion, when the Gemara says it's not a riot to Rav Sheshes, which is according to how the Gemara understands Rav Sheshes. But actually, that conclusion would actually be like Rav Sheshes itself. But we'll keep it for the simple understanding that the Gemara is seemingly saying that if a kablan is over on Baal Tullin, meaning if it doesn't pay a kablan on time, that's because ein umen kain b'shvach kli. And therefore, it's like a schiris. And that is the Gemara of a time when the Braisa ein over. However, the Braisa is clearly in such a case that we just described that there's no violation for a kablan if you don't pay him on time. So the Gemara, that case and that Bryce was talking about, yeah, because he had designated a third party, a storekeeper or a money changer to pay him, and that's why he's not violating, but not because he's a kablan. A kablan is just like a sacher, that there is going to be a violation of Baal Talon. Says the Gemara, so let's say that the following Bryce supports this halacha of Rav Sheshes, that by a kablan, by a tailor, by a cleaners, by anything that you're getting paid for the job, that if you don't pay them on time, that it's going to be Esra Baal Talon. How so? The Braisa says, Hanesin Talisa Le'uman. If someone gives his cloak, his talis, to a craftsman. Now, which, to go ahead and make a garment out of that. Gamra Vahidiyah, so when he finishes making the garment, he comes and he notifies the owner of the garment, here, pick up, it's ready to be picked up. Says the Braisa, Afilim Akan Adasar Yamim, even if he delays up until 10 days, Eino Evi Mishim Baal Talon, the owner has not violated Baal Talon for the payment for the craftsman, because he never picked it up yet. The obligation only starts when he picks it up. So he hasn't violated yet. But let's say, so the guy finally comes and picks it up, and he gives it to him at noon, halfway during the day, then says, so when the sun sets that day and he didn't pay it, he violates Baal Talon. This Isra of, actually, this refers to Leisover Lav Hashemesh, but that's how it's generally used in the category of Baal Talon. You don't pay by that next time period, since you had the whole afternoon to pay, you violate Baal Talon. Says the Gemara, V'yamrit umen koinu b'shvach kli. Now, if you would entertain to say that a craftsman acquires a shvach in the kli, and therefore, when he's giving back the garment to the owner, he's charging him for like a sale, so then amai over, so then this when we're talking about a craftsman, we're talking about a woman who is mashbiach the kli, why do we say that the guy who hired him is going to be violating Baal Talon when this is a case of kablanis? And if you say umen kamishvach kli, then there shouldn't be you shouldn't be over. Obviously, it's like Rav Sheshes because kablanis is the same thing that there's Baal Talon. That says umen Rav Mori bereid Rav Kana. No, it's not a raya. Begarda de sarbalo. This case in this Bryce is talking about where it's the guy's getting paid to comb the garment. Where there's no shvach in the kli. In other words, because actually what they would do is they would take they would tassel it, they would take it out and comb it, which makes it look fluffier and things like that. Now, but if you would leave the garment as it was, it actually would last even longer. So you're not being mashbiach the kli. So what are you paying him for? You're paying him for schiris, for the job that he's doing. And therefore, that's why it's going to be Baal Talon. But you're right. If it was a classical kablanis which has shvach kli, then, of course, the halacha would be that he would not be over, because maybe the halacha would be not like Rav Sheshes. I thought the Gemara asked, wait a second. L'may yahavanale? Why does a person give his garment to this craftsman to do this, what you call him, begarda disarbali, to have it combed out? L'rechuchi, because he wants to soften it, that it should be soft. Well, then, hayne shivchi. Well, then, that is the increase in the benefit of the garment, because there are those who like it like that. You're right. You send your shirts to the cleaners, they're going to get ruined much faster. Craft, which is guarded sharply, it makes the garment warmer, it makes it more beautiful. So there is a shvach over there, and therefore, what are you talking about? If you hold umen kain b'shvach li, then why would you be over? Obviously, it's because you hold the Rav Sheshes that there, that, again, depending how we said it according to Taisis, but that obviously Uman is not Kohen B'Shvach Kli, and that's why there's going to be a violation of Baal Talon. Says the Gemara, no, you're right. Rather, it's not talking about Bekar the Disarbali. Loi Tzricha, we could explain the Braisa why it's not going to be right to Rav Sheshes, the Ka'agrimine Levatushe, that it's similar to that, but it's the first process of that he was hired to go ahead and do what's called Fuller, which is the stepping. In other words, when we come from the Beis Hagardi, where the garment was woven, so they would step in it with their feet in a wooden utensil with water and with certain type of earth. Now, however, that's not a case of kablanis. Rather, it's a case of schiris, because it doesn't make a difference if it benefits it or not. The way this guy gets paid is according to the amount of kicks that he makes on the garment, which is bachu bacha b'ma'asa. This amount of kicks, that's how much money gets paid. So therefore, that's getting paid per quantum of actions, which is the same thing as the medium of time. You're getting paid for your activity, not for the product. Kablanis is getting paid for the finished product. Here he's getting paid for the activities that he's doing. Therefore, that's considered as a schiris. And therefore, yes, that's why there's going to be a navera Baal Talon if it doesn't get paid on time. But again, says the Gemara, that's not a right to Rav Sheshes, that even by kablanis, because although seemingly the simple case of giving your talis to a craftsman means to say that it's getting paid for the job, that's what the Gemara is describing, that he's not getting paid for the job, he's getting paid for the activities, therefore like a schiris, and that's why there's Baal Talon. And therefore, there's no raya that to Rav Sheshes halacha, that a kablan is the same as a sachar to be over and Baal Talon, which again, the Gemara is assuming that means to say that ain umen koinim b'shvach kli. The Gemara says, no, it could be umen is koinim b'shvach kli, and there wouldn't be Baal Talon, but this is a case of schiris. The Gemara continues on the Beis and continues to explain the halacha of our Mishnah that said that a sachar b'zmanoi, a worker in that time, which we said, a schir yayim, who finishes at night, his zman is from night all the way till the morning. And so to a schir laila, he finished in the morning, his time is all the way the next day till the night time, which we said has two ramifications in the halacha. One is regarding Baal Talon. It's only by the end of that next, after that zman, is the Isra Baal Talon. And also, moreover, the Mishnah says, Nishba min noit kavachulu. During that zman, which is the first time period right after he finishes his job, and not another time period after that, only in that time, he can then actually swear the worker to the owner and say, you still owe me the money, and he could go ahead and take his payment, his wage, from the employer, even if the employer is saying, I don't think I owe you the money, he could swear and take. So the Gemara asks, Sachar amaita kinyu le'rabbana le'mishtabe v'shakal. Why did the rabbis institute that a worker is allowed to swear and collect his money when the employer is saying, no, I think I paid you, and he's saying, no, you didn't pay me, and he swears and he's allowed to take? So on that, Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuli says, halachis g'day l'shanukam. There were great halachis that were taught over here. In other words, just like those halachis that the Chachamim mentioned, that Masechta Shavuos of Memdalam and Beis, that a person could swear and take, in contrast, as we'll shortly see, which generally is not the case. Usually shavuos are you swear to defend and not have to pay. There are certain cases, for example, like in our case of a sacher, a worker, or a person that was stolen from, or who is the victim of an injury, or a chemene apakase, where it's like he was told to pay certain people, and now the workers are saying they weren't paid, and he's saying, I did pay. He could swear and say he paid to get remuneration from the person who hired him. Here is also, there were great halachas that were mentioned over here. Now the Gemara first asks on the words that Shmuel used, Hani hilchas aninu? What, these are halachas? Generally the word halachas refers to halacha l'meshem Sinai. What, this is halacha l'meshem Sinai? But Hani takanas ninu? These are actually only rabbinic injunctions, as the Gemara explains over them, Sefta Shavuos, that it's the Rabban who are misakin that he could be nishba v'neitel. Why are you calling it halachas gedailas? So Elam Rav Yehuda Shmuel, you're right, takanas gedailas on the Khan. It's not that they were halachas gedailas, they were takanas gedailas, great rabbinic in interventions that were taught over here, why a sacher could be nishba v'neitel. So the Gemara asks in the other word, gedolos, what, you're saying that they were great takanas? Machal deka ketanas, that infers as if there are certain rabbinic ordinations that are small. What does that mean, that there was takanas gedolos? So Rav Nachum Mishmuel, he changes now the other word too. Rather, takanas kevuay shanukam, that they were permanent takanas that were taught over here. In other words, that it's fit to make permanent these rabbinic injunctions to uproot even a biblical law, because as we mentioned before, that biblically, it's only the one who has the obligation to pay, and he wants to not pay, that he swears to that effect, as the Pasuk says, Shemais Chabez, V'lokach bala b'lo yishalem, that he takes the oath in a way of not paying. Now here, he's taking an oath from the homeowner to actually, in other words, that the biblical oath is on the homeowner, meaning on the employer, and it's being thrown and imposed onto the sacher. That's a takana kavua that we're saying. In other words, as Gemara explains, shvua de balabaisi, the oath is actually on the employer, where he's claiming he owes him money. He's saying not. So the employer would have to swear to that effect and then be exempt. V'akurabon l'shvua de balabaisi v'shad yuasach. What did the rabbis do? They took away the oath from the defendant, from the employer, and they put it onto the sacher, onto the employer, that he swears and collects with. What's this takanas kavuas? So says the Gemara, Mishum kedechai of the sacher, so that there could be sustenance for the livelihood of the sacher, for the worker, where is that the worker, if not for this, there might come to a situation where he's going to do work and not get paid. So for that reason, the Rabbanan came and uprooted the biblical law and said, instead of the balabai swearing, the sacher is going to swear. Now, the Gemara wonders, Mishum kedechai of the sacher, so that for the livelihood of the worker, mifsadana le balabai, so we make the balabai lose, why do we pick him over the other one? Why should his parnasa be more important than the balabai's money? Says the Gemara, balabai's gufi nichele de mishtabeya sacher v'shakal. No, the employer himself, he prefers that his worker be allowed to swear and collect his wage, kihicha de liskar le pilum, so that he'll get workers. Because if workers say, hey, we're not going to be believed, we're not going to be able to swear, we're not going to go work. And then he's not going to have workers. So he prefers that the worker be allowed to swear to collect so that he'll have workers. So the Gemara wonders, what do you mean? You could say the same logic in the reverse. No, that the worker prefers that the owner could swear and make him lose his wages, so that people will hire them. So in other words, that they won't be, that because he's worried that people are going to say, no, this guy, He claims, after he already gets paid his paycheck, he claims again that he wasn't paid. He doesn't want that type of situation. He wants people to want to hire him. So he prefers, instead of him collecting, he prefers the landowner, him taking the oak of the oath, and him swearing to exempt himself. So why are you saying it's that way, that the Baal Bais wants workers? The worker could say he wants employers. So the Gemara says, no, but Baal Bais al karche agar. The employer, by default, he has to go ahead because he needs workers. Of course, he's going to hire people, so that shouldn't be a concern. So the Gemara says the other way too. Sacher nami bal karche isgar. What do you mean? The worker, by default, has to go ahead and hire himself out because he needs to provide for his family. So you can't say one is more important and binding than the other one. Taylor rather explains the Gemara. So what is the logic why the Rabbanan take the Shavuot from the Balabais and switched it and transferred it to the Sacher? Is Balabais tarred b'poilim hu? Because the employer is very busy with all his workers and he thinks he gave this guy but he really didn't give. So because he doesn't know, that's why we can't trust him to impose the oath on him. So therefore, we transferred it from him, and we believe the sacher to collect with a shvur. So the Gemara says, if that's the case that the Baal HaBayis doesn't know, then nesav lebal shvur, then actually we should be allowed to give it to the employee's claim, even without an oath, because we believe him versus the land versus the Baal HaBayis, the employer, because the employer doesn't know. So the Gemara says, you're right. But kedei lahaf is daita shel Baal HaBayis, to calm and put at ease the cognitions of the employer, where he's going to think, wait a second, I think I paid him, I don't know, I'm busy. But so by having the employee swear, okay, so shvu is a big thing. So yes, we believe the sacher versus the Baal HaBayis, but we impose a shvu on him so that it could put at ease the Baal HaBayis, knowing, okay, so I probably didn't pay him, but he's willing to take a shvu. So that's the primary halacha of this concept. Why the sacher bismanai, where it's during that interim period where he's nishba v'neitel, because the Baal HaBayis can't swear because he doesn't really know. But that the Gemara asks, v'nesiv lei be'edim, why doesn't the Baal HaBayis, the employer, pay the worker with witnesses in front of two people, and then he can give it to him without requirement of an oath? In other words, they should institute that anyone who hires workers should have to pay him in front of two people, and then if he says, I paid him without witnesses, then we say, no. Then we're going to give it to the worker even without an oath, because you're not believed. You're supposed to give it with witnesses. So why do we go ahead and initially require an oath when we could avoid an oath by just having the employer pay more nedim? And if he says he paid it without nedim, then we don't believe him, and then the worker could collect even without a shvur. Says the Gemara, trich lehu milsa. No, it's very challenging. It requires a lot of effort the whole entire day. Well, I need to pay the guy. Okay, we need two witnesses. It's very difficult. So we didn't impose that, and rather he pays him regular. And then when there's contesting if he paid him or not, then the sacher could collect with a shavua. But the Gemara asks a different option. V'nesiv lei mi'ikara. But let them institute that every employer should pay the worker in the morning before he does his job. So therefore, then if the worker comes at the end of the day and claims, hey, you didn't pay me, he's not believed, because we know that every employer pays in the morning, and that's, no one's going to go to work unless he gets paid. And if you worked and now you're claiming your payment, obviously that you're not believed. So why do we say that there's a shvur? Just make up that everyone should pay in the morning. So the Gemara knows shneim reitzim ba'kafa. Both of them, the employer and the employee, prefer that there be credit, that it only be paid after the job. In other words, the employer, sometimes he doesn't have money to pay him before the job. And the worker, he's afraid that when he's doing the job, he's going to lose the money. He'd rather get it after he finishes when he's on his way home. So therefore, that's why he didn't institute the payment in the morning. Now, but the Gemara asks, ihachi, so fine. If that's the reason, that because the employer is very busy and perturbed and he forgets, and therefore we can't have him take the shvur that he paid him, therefore the rabbanan transferred it to the worker who he knows about his one payment. If the employer has 50 workers, he's got just one boss, he knows if he gets paid or not. So therefore we impose the shvur on him. So ask the Gemara, afilakatas nami, then even regards to the set price that they had agreed on and contracted to hire him for, there too we should believe the sacher and not the Baal HaBayis, because he's busy, we've got all these different business transactions to deal with. Then alamatanya, so why do we learn the b'raisa, umen oimer shtaim ketzatzali, the worker claims, you told me you're going to pay me two. And the one who hired him said, no, I had only made up that I'm going to pay you one. So what does the b'raisa say? The worker who's trying to collect money from the one who hired him, it's coming upon him, the burden of proof. But why? Didn't we say that the one who hired him is busy with all these different transactions and he doesn't know, and if we believe the one who's getting hired? So why do we believe the one who hired him and not the one who is the worker? Says the Gemara, no, ketzitza vade mitka dekir le'inch. You know, people remember how much money they made up. They don't remember if he paid him or not, but how much he made up to pay the guy, that he definitely recalls, and therefore that's what we believe over there, the employer and not the employee. But the Gemara still asks, ihachi, but if that's the case, that the rationale of this halacha of sacher bizman is nishba benoitel, is because of the Baal HaBayis is turret and he doesn't know, whereas the sacher knows, and therefore we have the oath on him, then afila avers mani nami, then even if the time period, which is right after he finished working, even if that already passed, and now he's claiming it on the following day, we should still believe the worker regarding that he wasn't paid yet. Because we're saying that the worker is the one who knows. The employer doesn't know. So if he knows, and they didn't get paid yet, so who cares if it's right the period after, even the day after that, he should be believed, especially if he's making a shavua. Alom etzanan, why we learn the Mishnah that says, Avrizmanoi, if that period of immediately right after, whether it be day or night, of his job being finished, and that period already passed, then ein nishba benoitel, then he can't swear anymore and collect. But why not? What is that? What's the relevancy? The worker knows he didn't get paid. Didn't get paid that day, maybe not the day afterward. And he knows, the landowner, the employer who doesn't recall, we shouldn't believe him. We should allow the sacher to be nishba benoitel. Says Gemara, no, in that case, chazaka, there's a presumption that ein balabayis ev mishum baltalon. The employer is not going to violate the Issa Baltalan. In other words, for example, a day laborer finishes at nighttime. So that's when the obligation for him to pay starts. That's called the Zman. Up until the next morning, in that interim period, the Sacher could swear and tell that the employer, you didn't pay me yet, and pay me, and then he could collect. Now, that for that period, there's no yet a violation of Baltalan. When it reaches the next morning, and the employer didn't pay him yet, he violates Baltalan. So if the worker's coming the following day, after that morning, and he's saying, you didn't pay me yet, we don't believe him then anymore. Because a chazaka is that although the Baal Bais doesn't recall, but he's not going to allow that time period to pass without having paid him. And therefore, once that time period passed, we don't trust the Sarcha anymore to say that he wasn't paid yet to be Nishba Benaitl. Now, that's the Gemara, but how can you say that? Va'amrit, Baal Bais tarred b'paylevu. But you said that the worker is very busy with all his work. He doesn't recall who he paid or who he didn't. How are you guaranteed that he's not going to violate Baal Talan? And therefore, now you're saying that we don't trust the Sarcha anymore once that Zmanli passes. Says the Gemara, when did we say that Baal Bais is tarred b'paylov? Hanemili mikmei de lamanti is manchiv. That's only before the time where he said, you know that, okay, then that's, I'm going to be violating an iser. Before that time period, then he doesn't recall. But as we continue on top of Kofi Gimel v'alv, avol mot is manchiv, when his obligation comes for an iser in the Torah, Baal Talan, Ramei Anafshi Mitka, then he's going to put his head together and he's going to recall, did I pay him, did not? He's going to go through that whole paper trail and he's going to figure it out. So therefore, once that time period of the obligation about Talon comes, which is already the next time after this man, then we don't trust anymore the Sacher, then the Chazaka already points towards that the employer already paid him. Now, that the Gemara asks, but v'chisacher ev mishum bal tigzel? You're telling me that there's a Chazaka working for the employer because, oh, he's not going to violate Baal Talon. So what? But the Sacher, the employee who's claiming his money, what? You think he violates Baal Tigzel? That he's going to violate the Isra of robbing from the... What do you mean? Why is he claiming? Obviously, the Chazak is that he doesn't violate Baal Tigzel. So now the Gemara says, you're right. But Hasim Tre Chazaki, Hacha Chada Chazaka. There by the employer, there's two Chazakas. And here for the worker, there's only one Chazaka, as the Gemara explains. Gabe Balabai is by the employer. In other words, working for his merit, Ika Tre Chazaki. There's two Chazakas, there's two presumptions that work in his favor. Chado, first of all, Dein Baal Bais Ev Mishum Baal Talan. Like we said, that the employer would not violate the Isser of delaying the payment past that time period. And therefore, after that time period, we assume he did pay. Chado, then there's another one. Dein Sachar Masha Sacharai. A worker doesn't delay getting paid beyond that time period. And therefore, we could assume that actually he was paid for his second reason because he wouldn't allow it to pass that time period. But here, for the Sacher, you're right. There is one Chazaka, which we assume, we could presume that he wouldn't violate Baal Tigzel, and if he's claiming the money, he must be telling the truth. But that's two against one, and therefore, that's why we say, once it's Avri Zmanoi, then we say that he can't be Nishba B'Noit anymore, because it's a Chazaka of two, of the employer versus one of the employee.